Voice of Indonesia.
Hello, listener. How are you today? I hope you are fine. With me, Rivai, and I'll accompany you with 60 minutes ahead for today's edition. And we would like to present some programs started with news, commentary, and other soft information as well as entertainment and Indonesian pop song. Listener, we begin our program with news. Stay with us on Voice of Indonesia from Indonesia to the world at frequency shortwave 3325 kHz and website www.voinews.id.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia with the news.
Here is the news, first headlines. Indonesian President wants concrete steps in vocational education. Vice President Yusuf Kalla discussed handling refugees with United Nations High Commissioner for Refugees. Those are the headlines. Now the news in detail. I'm Donald Pani. Indonesian President Joko Widodo led a limited meeting on vocational education at the Merdeka Palace, Jakarta on Thursday. In the introduction to the meeting, the head of state stressed that improvements in human resources in Indonesia would be carried out through vocational education. In the meeting, President Joko Widodo called on Indonesia to really take advantage of the democratic bonus in 2030. According to him, the key is all about revamping vocational education. The president also emphasized that the government could focus on training so that it could produce the best human resources and have upgraded skills. Vice President Yusuf Kalla discussed Indonesia's efforts to handle refugees during a meeting with the United Nations High Commissioner for Refugees UNHCR, Filippo Grandi. Kalla said while in Lausanne, Switzerland on Thursday, that Indonesia has experience in managing an influx of refugees as it did in Galang Island, Riau Islands province. During the 30-minute meeting, Kalla also expressed Indonesia's preparedness to assist UNHCR in handling refugees. While in Switzerland, Kalla also met with President of the International Committee of the Red Cross, Peter Maurer. Kalla said the meeting with Maurer allowed him to discuss cooperation in humanitarian fields such as disaster mitigation programs. During his visit, Kalla also delivered a national address at the Global Platform for Disaster Risk Reduction Forum held at the International Conference Center, Geneva. Vice President Yusuf Kalla held a meeting with President of the International Olympic Committee, Thomas Bach, to convey Indonesia's readiness to host the 2032 Olympics. Yusuf Kalla believes Indonesia will be one of the strong candidates to host the 2032 Olympics. Kalla conveyed it to Bach at the International Olympic Committee Museum located in Lausanne, Switzerland on Thursday. Kalla also explained that Indonesia actively participated in international sports forums and supports global, neutral, and non-discriminatory sports principles, as well as enforcing good governance and also supporting gender equality. Indonesia believes that sports and sporting events can function as an effective means to achieve targets in the Sustainable Development Goals and even contribute to peace. This news comes to you over the Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. The Japanese ambassador to Indonesia, Masafumi Ishii, held a joint iftar event in Jakarta on Thursday. This joint breaking of the fast was attended by a number of leaders of Islamic community organizations such as Nahdlatul Ulama, Muhammadiyah, as well as young researchers who had attended an invitation program to Japan. Ambassador Masafumi Ishii, in his speech, said that this activity was not only to strengthen relations between Indonesian Muslims, but also to celebrate the changing era of the Heisei era, the era of Emperor Akihito, to become the Reiwa era, that is the era of Emperor Naruhito in Japan. Reiwa means beautiful harmonization. In the Reiwa era, we were determined to build beautiful harmonization in the world, as well as intending to strengthen relations between Indonesia and Japan. I hope we can continue to play an important role in bridging Japanese and Indonesian friendship wherever we are. On the occasion, Din Samsudin, chair of the Advisory Council of the Indonesian Ulama Council, in his welcoming speech, expressed his congratulations on the emperor's change from Emperor Akihito to Emperor Naruhito and the changing era in Japan. Din Samsudin hopes that Indonesia can continue to establish positive relations with Japan. Indonesian Foreign Minister Retno Marsudi, as President of the United Nations Security Council UNSC for May 2019 period, will lead the Council session in New York on May 22nd in a discussion of the latest situation in the Middle East. Day-to-day coordinator of the UNSC Task Force of the Indonesian Foreign Ministry, Hari Prabowo, said in a statement released on Thursday that the chairmanship shows how high is Indonesia's attention to the issue of peace in the Middle East, particularly Palestine. The session will discuss two reports from Special Envoy of the UN Secretary General for Middle East Peace, Nikolai Mladenov, and from the United Nations Relief and Works Agency for Palestine Refugees in the Near East, UNRWA. The other issues that will be discussed during the session are the latest conditions in Syria following the escalation of tensions in Idlib, progress in the implementation of cooperation among members of the Organization for the Prohibition of Chemical Weapons, and the security situation in Yemen. Indonesia supports the recommendation that Timor-Leste becomes the 11th member state of ASEAN in a bid to add to strengthen the organization in the Southeast Asia region. The submission of East Timor as an ASEAN member will be one of the topics discussed by East Timor Foreign Minister Dionisio da Costa Babo Soares during a meeting with Indonesian Foreign Minister Retno Marsudi in Jakarta on Friday. Indonesian Foreign Ministry spokesman Armanata Nasir said in Jakarta on Thursday that Indonesia is one of the ASEAN countries that consistently supported the application of Timor-Leste. This is an effort to realize the vision of ASEAN founding fathers to unite all countries in the region into one organization. Indonesia's support for Timor-Leste is given politically and concretely through various capacity-building assistance programs to prepare the country before entering ASEAN. Well, listener, that's the news.
Voice of Indonesia.
Today's commentary is on hot situation in the Gulf region. Just one day after the attack of Houthi drones to seven locations in Saudi Arabia on Wednesday, May 15, the Saudi-led coalition launched 11 airstrikes into Sana'a, the capital of Yemen, and its surroundings. After the incident, the coalition claimed the target was entirely Houthi military installations. Before the attack on Saudi Arabia, two Saudi tankers and one tanker from the United Arab Emirates were attacked by unknown parties. To this day, no one has claimed to have carried out the attack on the three ships. The U.S. has accused Iran of accusing Israel, an ally of the United States. The Houthi attack carried the message that this militant group has been able to carry out attacks that can disturb comfort in the surrounding country. Thus, the Houthis get a higher bargaining position if they advance in negotiations. Two incidents targeted the coalition region made the government of Saudi Arabia held a meeting led directly by King Salman. After the meeting came the statement that acts of terrorism and sabotage not only targeted the kingdom but also the security of oil supplies and the world economy. Abu Dhabi, an area in the United Arab Emirates, which is a member of the Saudi Arabian coalition, immediately responded to the rising tensions. The Crown Prince of Abu Dhabi, Mohammed bin Zayed Al Nahyan, met with Egyptian President Abdel Fattah al-Sisi after the attack. Al-Sisi, according to sources in Egypt, supports Saudi and United Arab Emirates. It will be a joint concern if tensions in the Gulf region are increasing, not only because of mutual reciprocal attacks, but also because of increasing tensions between the United States and Iran. Clearly, the tension in this region can disrupt oil export, traffic, and the regional economy.
Now, it's how all the conflicting parties reduce the tension and find a solution by not prioritizing confrontation or armed conflict. Well, that was commentary on hot situation in the Gulf region from Voice of Indonesia to the world.
Welcome back to Today in History. We start from an event of the establishment of Indonesian Publisher Association on May 17, 1950. Association of Indonesian Publisher was established on May 17, 1950 in Jakarta on initiative and agreement of some national publishers at that time. In addition to encouragement to replace the foreign publishers' position, especially the Dutch, which still monopolized book publishing activities in the country, the establishment of Association of Indonesian Publishers was also imbued with great desire to help the government in establishing brilliant Indonesian people. When the establishment of the association only consisted of 13 publishers, now the number of its members has reached around 650 publishers throughout Indonesia. According to the history, the Association of Indonesian Publishers still exists as the only one book publisher organization which is able to fight and to serve various concerns of its members. The next event is that in 1980, National Library was established. Indonesian National Library is located in Jakarta. It has a duty to store state's data and information. The library is also one of government's agencies non-department which is under and responsible to the president. Earlier, the library was one of the realizations of the implementation and development of the national system of the library as a whole and integrated since it was planned its establishment on May 17, 1980 by the then Minister of Education and Culture, Daud Yusuf. The agency is the result of integration of the four major libraries in Jakarta. And the last event is about National Book Day. Determination of May 17 as National Book Day was the initiative of Education Minister of Mutual Cooperation Cabinet, Abdul Malik Fajar, since 2002. The decision of National Book Day is hoped to be able to encourage reading interest of Indonesian people as well as to increase books sales. The date was chosen based on the date of the establishment of Indonesian National Library on May 17, 1980. The commemoration of Book Day is often related to reading interest in Indonesia, which is still low. From study data of most literate nation in the world, which has been released by Central Connecticut State University in 2016, Indonesia ranked in the 60th from 61 countries. The position was under Thailand and above Botswana. To grow love of book reading becomes a challenge for every individual. However, National Book Day commemoration is able to give positive impact in making people aware about the importance of the book. Even to enliven the day, some institutions such as National Library holds events and activities aiming to invite people to visit the library. That was Today in History.
Voice of Indonesia.
Ampuni segala dosa yang
Voice of Indonesia.
Well, listener, that was sung, and you are still with us, Voice of Indonesia from Indonesia to the world at frequency shortwave 3325 kilohertz and website www.voinews.id. In Indonesia Today's edition, I'd like to give you information about Indonesia and, of course, in My Indonesia.
Voice of Indonesia.
My Indonesia Today is entitled Indonesia targets to become the largest producers of global halal industry in 2024. President Joko Widodo in Jakarta on Tuesday launched a roadmap or Indonesian Islamic Economic Master Plan 2019-2024. Through the roadmap, the government wants Indonesia not only to become a consumer, but also acts as a producer of Sharia products. The master plan prepared in conjunction with the National Islamic Finance Committee is a reference for the development of Islamic economics in the country, including the industry and the Islamic financial system. In fact, President Joko Widodo set a target of making Indonesia one of the world's largest Islamic economic powers. President Joko Widodo further divided the focus on the development of domestic Islamic economy in five sectors: the food and beverage industry, fashion, tourism, media and recreation, as well as pharmacy and cosmetics. As a supporting measures, the government is committed to strengthening Islamic finance, micro, small and medium enterprises, Islamic product base, and digital economy that serves Sharia products. At the launch, he stated that he was pleased that there are currently marketplaces offering halal products. This is a step so that Indonesia is not only the largest consumer country, but the largest producers of halal products that will enter other countries. He viewed that the Islamic economy could be a driving machine of the national economy in the next few years. Meanwhile, Minister of National Development Planning, head of Bappenas, Bambang Brojonegoro, said that currently, Indonesia is still in the top 10 position as a global consumer of the Sharia industry. This is quite ironic because Indonesia, which is actually a country with the largest Muslim population in the world, is still a consumer country. With the existence of the Indonesian Islamic Economic Master Plan, it is hoped that Indonesia will become the largest producers of the global halal industry in 2024. That's My Indonesia. I'm Nuka Kusumawati.
Voice of Indonesia.
Well, boy listener, you are still with us, Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world, at frequency shortwave 3325 kHz, at website www.voinews.id. Well, listener, then we would like to present next segment, Indonesian Wonder, about tourism and local wisdom of Indonesian people.
Listeners, meet you again in Indonesian Wonder with me, Ahmad Faisal. Today, I will introduce you Kramas Beach in Bali. Listeners, Bali is hosting again the 3rd World Surf League Champions Tour Series 2019. The event, named Corona Bali Protected, has taken place in Kramas Beach, Gianyar Regency, since 13th to 25th May 2019. The beach Kramas is chosen for the location of the international event because the waves can reach 2 meters high, an ideal place for surfing. Kramas Beach is in the village of Kramas, Blah Batu sub-district, Gianyar, Bali. The trip from Denpasar only takes about 45 minutes by land transportation. Listeners, along the trip to Kramas Beach, you can witness a beautiful scene of rice fields and plantation estate. The waves in the shore of the beach are still relatively friendly and safe for swimming and surfing practice. Here, there are subboard rentals for those who don't bring surfing equipment, with rental prices starting from 50,000 rupiah. In Kramas Beach, you can try the surfing sensation at night. You don't need to worry because the organizers have provided a supervisory post equipped with 2 towers with flood lights that are used as lighting tools for visitors. Not only for surfing, Kramas Beach, which is still empty of visitors, is also ideal for isolation from the crowd. This place can be a retreat location which refreshes the mind and body, far from pollution, with its greeny beautiful area. Listeners, allegedly the name of the beach in Gianyar, before its name became Pantai Kramas, was Kramas Beach, because the beach in the village of Kramas, Blah Batu, Gianyar, Bali, is often used for the location of the nesting area of golden turtles. Time after time, the turtles did not come back to the coast, and it was replaced by the presence of the golden ape animal, which was the name of Kramas Beach until now, even though the presence of the golden ape was gone. Listeners, that's the edition of Indonesia Wonder for today, with the topic of Kramas Beach. Tomorrow, we will meet again with other interesting topics. See you later.
Kita sesali semua indah yang pernah kita alami, meskipun terbatas dan tak mungkin terikat janji abadi. Aku dirimu dirinya tak akan pernah mengerti. Tentang suratan aku dirimu dirinya tak rasa bila sadari cinta takkan salah.
besar kembali. Jalinan cerita mungkin tak begini. Aku dirimu dirinya tak akan pernah mengerti tentang suratan. Aku dirimu dirinya tak rasa bila sadari cinta takkan salah. Meskipun terbatas saling pandang dan tak akan lebih lagi. Aku dirimu dirinya tak akan pernah mengerti tentang suratan. Aku dirimu dirinya tak rasa bila sadari cinta takkan.
Thank you very much, Voice listener. We have listened a wonderful song, and you are still with us, Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world at frequency shortwave 3325 kHz and website www.voanews.id. A listener would like to give you another information about interesting tourism that happened in Indonesia.
Hello listeners, Voice of Indonesia. It's nice to meet you again in a miscellany. Today, Citizen will present you Indonesia is trusted in vaccine research for world institutions. Stay tuned at www.voinews.id. Recently, Indonesia, through a state-owned company, Bio Farma, has won the trust of the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation to develop new products. Managing Director of Bio Farma, M. Rahman Rustan, said that Bio Farma once again won the trust of world research institutions to be involved in the research and production of the latest vaccines in a bid to prevent some diseases such as polio, which would be destroyed by 2020. This latest generation of polio vaccine research, or novel oral polio vaccine, includes the development of vaccine technology based first to three clinical tests and the production process. In October 2018 at the IMF World 2018 annual meeting in Bali, the foundation expressed its desire to follow up on cooperation with Bio Farma. Bio Farma's planning and development director, Adriansyah Azari, said that the new vaccine research for the vaccine began with a discussion of technology transfer received by Bio Farma. This form of cooperation is to begin from the research process, technology transfer, production process, clinical trials from stage 1 to 3. All research of the research are expected to be products so that the market can be accepted on time. Previously, Minister of Finance Sri Mulyani at the IMF World Bank Group 2018 annual meeting, the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation said that it would assist research in state-owned enterprises through biopharma for the development of vaccines. The goal is that the types of related vaccines are produced by not only Western countries, but also Indonesia, which is expected to have the capacity to become a world player in the field of vaccine production. In fact, the original vaccine producer in this country is also appointed by the Islamic Development Bank to produce vaccines for OIC member countries. That was Miss Lenny for today. Thank you for listening and see you next time.
Satu terkasih, kulihat di sinar matamu tersimpan kekayaan batinmu. Oh, di dalam senyummu ku dengar bahasa kalbu mengalun bening menggetarkan. Kini dirimu yang selalu bertata di benakku, dan aku kan mengiringi bersama.
Voice of Indonesia.
Temukan apa arti di balik cerita. Hati ini terasa berbunga-bunga. Membuat seakan aku melayang.
Voice of Indonesia.
That was a wonderful song. And you are still with us, Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world at frequency shortwave 3325 kHz and website www.voinews.id. Listener, next segment, I'd like to give you information about the music. For today's edition, we'll present traditional music.
Voice of Indonesia.
Hello listeners, Voice of Indonesia. Welcome back in Music Corner. Today, we will present you a religious song. A Sundanese song, which is quite popular, was composed by Indonesian musician from West Java, Dul Sumbang. The song was popular in 1990s and sung by Darso for the first time. The song tells about someone who pardons to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala on his sins, which are conducted during his life. The lyrics of the songs are so poetic and describing a shoulder to cry on the composer of the song. The song is also sung by some Indonesian singers such as Ebit Bit A. Listeners, here is Hamparan Sajadah sung by Dato.
Pangeran Abdi
Voice of Indonesia.
Sajadah panjang terbentang dari kaki buayan sampai ke tepi kuburan hamba, kuburan hamba bila mati. Ada sajadah panjang terbentang, hamba tunduk dan sujud. Di atas sajadah yang panjang ini diselingi sekedar interupsi. Mencari rezeki, mencari ilmu, mengukur jalanan seharian. Begitu terdengar suara azan, kembali tersungkur hati. Ada sajadah panjang terbentang, hamba tunduk dan ruku, hamba sujud tak lepas kening hamba, mengingat di kau sepenuhnya. Mencari rezeki, mencari ilmu, mengukur jalanan seharian. Begitu terdengar suara azan, kembali tersungkur hamba. Ada sajadah panjang terbentang, hamba tunduk dan ruku, hamba sujud tak lepas kening hamba, mengingat.
Listener, we end our Together Death in English Language program broadcasting. Thank you very much for your attention. We'll give another interesting information. So stay tuned with us at Voice of Indonesia from Indonesia to the world at frequency shortwave 3325 kHz and website www.voanews.id. And listener, don't forget to like and comment at Facebook, The Voice of Indonesia from Indonesia to the world, or our Instagram account, voice_of_Indonesia. And you can visit our Twitter account at VOI Indonesia or to our email voi@voinews.id.